Hi, and welcome back to the Digging Deeper podcast at 4constructionpros.com. I'm here with Justin Zupank, who is the compaction product manager for Volvo Construction Equipment. Justin, thanks for joining us.
Oh, not a problem. Glad to be here.
Yeah, you know, Volvo fits into kind of a interesting sector of the market because currently not in the paving space, but a lot of support equipment for asphalt pavers, dirt work professionals. Why don't you talk to me a little bit about how the compaction side of the Volvo offerings is supporting asphalt contractors and paving contractors out there?
Yeah, we've got a full spectrum of products from our excavators and our loaders and our haulers, like you mentioned. But then as we look into our compaction line, we go from small machines all the way to large on both the soil and the asphalt side. And we've got both the diesel machines as well as some of the newer battery electric machines as well. And we really want to make sure that we've got an offering that can match what the needs are for the customer and try to understand what those changes are, how they evolve over time, and make sure that we evolve our product as well.
Yeah, I noticed the new DD15 that I saw yesterday. Another addition to the electric lineup. Volvo, going all the way back to the celebration of construction that happened a few years ago now, where there was no traditionally fueled machines at the celebration of construction. And that was the first time I really was kind of personally and professionally impressed with Volvo's dedication to greener and more efficient solutions. Tell me a little bit about the development of the DD15, if you can.
Yep.
And you, your president said that there's been growth and learning from the DD25 to this model. What are some of those things that you guys learned in the development process?
Yeah, absolutely. The DD15 for us was really the next step after the DD25 electric. And we looked at it in terms of what were we learning from the field, what were we hearing from the customers, what changes would they like to see, and where really were the next steps that we should go. For us, it was the next logical place to look at a smaller machine, and we were able to come up with a good solution. Our team in Shippensburg was able to really do a lot of good testing and learn from the field trials that we've done. So we're pretty comfortable with that machine that we have right now. We're showing it for the first time. So we're not talking production dates with it at this point. We really want to gauge the feedback.
You know, the electric question is been interesting over the last few years. And I feel like the electric and hydrogen options, at first, there was a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of resistance. But I have felt that subsiding because it's kind of proven itself that it's like it's here to stay.
Yeah.
Whether the future ends up being decided by hydrogen or being decided by electric, I think that guys are somewhat now just a more familiar with, oh yeah, that's okay, this is an electric vehicle. And I think ultimately what people are going to see is that there are cost associated benefits with going down this line. Can you talk to me a little bit about not only the efficiency that Volvo has in their electric vehicles, mm-hmm. but maybe what they're doing in the newer, traditionally fueled vehicles and compaction equipment you have?
Yeah, for us, I mean, battery electric is a great new technology, and we're continuing to look and refine and evolve what we have and make sure we have offerings that are there. But that doesn't mean that we've abandoned the diesel products
exactly.
as well.
No, you still have a great lineup.
Absolutely. And we want to continue to refine both of those product lines because we have customers that ask for one or the other. And we need to find out what their application is and find the best way we can tailor it. And even the diesel machines, we're continuously looking at ways to be more fuel efficient. We can look at ways to save time. Really, just what are the operating steps? Is there something that's maybe that we can automate? Is there something that we can take some of the control away from the operator? Not to the point where he doesn't have to think, but where we can combine functionality, we can combine features, we can make it easier for them to do their job and give them the information they need at the time that they need it.
So with your time talking and getting feedback from contractors and the time you spend, like say over the last 12 months, is there any trends that you've noticed in the industry that you'd like to share, you know, with us, that's things that you're seeing in the road building sector?
I'd say probably the one that's been consistent over the past few years, and I'll go back to, I think it was 2021, where we were at Utility Expo and we showed our single drum autonomous compactor concept, the CX-01.
Yes.
And I think, Brandon, you and I have talked about that in
yes,
the past.
Yes, exactly.
We gained a tremendous amount of feedback on that unit. We had everybody's interest, everybody's engagement. They flocked to that unit. But the big thing that came up and why they flocked to it was because of operator availability. And consistently, we were hearing from asphalt contractors, from soil contractors, they were struggling to find operators. They were struggling to retain operators. So that was one of the reasons why they looked at it to say, this is something that maybe I can get a different training level for my operator. I can maybe take them out of the immediate environment, and I can give them a better, you know, quote unquote office for them to operate in. And that seems to be one that's really been consistent. They're always looking for ways to help the operator, to show them that there's a different, there's different surroundings that they can work within and really just make their day easier.
I think that this is a challenge that we have been hearing across the spectrum of the industry, all sorts of contractors, general contractors included, that the labor availability is not an issue that's going to go away anytime soon. And I think there is an enormous space for autonomous equipment. Why do you think that compaction is a good starting place for autonomous equipment? What makes it kind of ripe to take on that technology?
I think if you look at soil first, soil is a great application to start with because you've got typically running forward and back. Maybe you've got elevation changes or not, but it can be a repetitive process.
Right.
And there are systems out there today, whether they're from OEMs or they're from third parties, where you can apply that technology. And you're looking at the area around you, maybe you're geofencing an area and you're just operating parallel paths throughout there. But the technology is generally there to do it. Some of it is getting it out in the hands of the customers and making sure that they're aware of it and they're not afraid of it and show them that it actually can do what they need to. So I think that's really an area where there's probably going to be a lot of development here in the near future.
That it can actually meet the needs that they have.
And absolutely.
Labor issues are only one challenge that contractors and owner-operators face. What are some other challenges that you're seeing and trends that from talking with your contacts out there that aren't labor maybe related specific, but are different types of challenges that you're hearing about?
Uptime on machines is always a challenge too. Making sure that the machines are available as you get more systems, more controllers, more components on them, there's more opportunity for failure. So we need to make sure that when we put something out there that it's going to be reliable, it's going to be adding value to the product. So that's always a major challenge that comes up from time to time. And just overall, taking the data and the information we have and finding ways to use it. We can transmit data from machines to various locations, whether it's a cell phone or an office. Those accessibility points are there. But how can we use that? How can we make the job more efficient? And a lot of jobs, too, they're, especially on asphalt jobs, the contractor's based on, they're getting paid bonuses on time, on smoothness on the job. How quick have they gotten the job completed? Is there a way that we can take that data and we can use it to now
help make them hit those goals, those marks?
Make it quicker. You know, intelligent compaction is a good opportunity to look at that. Because now, if you have an asphalt machine that doesn't have it, you're relying on the operator who maybe he's got a lot of experience or maybe he's new on that product. But there's a different level of understanding of how many passes they need to take.
Yeah.
What density are they at? What temperature are they at? A system like Intelligent Compaction or even our Density Direct system, now you get a chance to see those passes in real time. You get a chance to see the temperature. You understand, okay, I've been over this section multiple times. I need to move on. Have I reached the density targets? So there's a lot of value in those systems.
I think that as time progresses, the reliance upon their real-world experience, which has immense value, we're not diminishing that at all. But I think, you know, as the data glut, maybe that's kind of a negative word to say, but as we continue to amass more and more information about how we do the job, the way that things used to be done, I can see a place where the world will have less and less space for that because it has such a larger margin of error. Whether we like to admit it or not, even the most seasoned professionals, there's a much wider margin for error just by glance or by touch and feel and experience versus having actual temperature readings, having actual density readings live, the immediate feedback that you can get from that kind of technology. And I think one of the good things about bringing up guys, new operators, or the new people that will take those places, is they're going to have these tools at their disposal from day one.
Exactly.
How do you think that will shape the future of the industry as those new guys will have this their whole careers?
Yeah, and I can relate that to the change from hydraulic controls to electric controls in a lot of the product as well, because you had certain products where individuals took a lot of time to be very proficient at a hydraulically controlled machine. But then when the electric controls came along, they were apprehensive to pick them up. But it's a lot easier for somebody that's not familiar with that product to get engaged, to understand what they need to do and become effective at their job. And I see that being the same way with the IC discussion. The operators that have been there over the years and they've gotten familiar with the temperatures and the times and the different mixes they're working with and understanding how to make those adjustments, the newer operators, they don't have that time. They don't have that history. They don't have that experience. So now being able to use this technology to help speed up that learning curve.
Fill in that gap a little bit.
Fill in that gap. And that's really what they're going to know from day one when they walk on the job site. That's probably what they're going to be exposed to. And they're going to continue to learn through the technology. The technology is going to help them, and it's going to evolve as well.
You know, over the last year, I've had some, I guess you could call it experiential training in compaction. Over the last 12 months, I did a few job site stints, spending a whole day out with some contractors, some commercial contractors, and mostly did some finish rolling.
Okay.
No breakdown rolling yet. No one's trusting me to do... No one's trusting me to do any breakdown rolling anytime
soon. Step by step.
Right. But starting with the finish rolling, and I didn't have any access. None of the finish rolling I did had, like, technology built into it.
Yeah.
I was learning probably the way most guys or a lot of guys have learned, right? Mm-hmm. Just by out there and doing it and someone saying, no, that's the wrong way. Back up and do it again. And I can say that it would have made a huge difference to me if I had had like a screen or something and showing me, you know, like, okay, come back now this way and now I need to move over more. I haven't gone over enough because for a newbie, it's really hard to be able to just look at the mat and see the difference. Over time, I've gotten a little bit better at it, but not nearly what I would feel comfortable with. It takes time to pick up on that. And I think the technology is a great way to speed that up. For sure. Now, being as we're at World of Asphalt, a lot of guys here are paving contractors. I even met this guy, Trey Bo Dirt, came through. He's a big, famous dirt contractor. And I asked him, I said, you know, what's the relationship like between dirt work and asphalt? You know, he said, they're just two sides of the same coin. You know, they need each other. So for asphalt guys who are not typically soil professionals, what about the Volvo offerings could cross over, you know, that could be of use to an asphalt guy who's like, you know what, maybe I could do my own soil work. We could compact this ourselves. Is there any solutions that Volvo offers guys that could help them cross over to the dirt side?
I think a lot of our products could be universal. You know, we don't really have anything today that I would say you're going to take from asphalt directly to soil. We do have some contractors that will use a double drum on gravel or sub base. But the part that's easy to jump into is the consistency we have across the product line. So we try to make sure that you have a uniform fit and finish, you have a uniform interface on a lot of products. So it's not going to be foreign if you jump in from one product to the next.
If you're on an asphalt roller or a soil roller, the operations are going to be familiar and consistent.
It's going to be consistent. You may have, you know, on a double drum, you're going to have two vibration settings versus one on a soil machine. But outside of that, application specific, you're going to be able to jump on a machine and be able to operate one versus the other. Really, it's we try to think about the simplicity and make sure that somebody can jump in quickly, make sure they can get up to speed quickly.
Concerning the future, right? Got ConExpo coming up a year from now. It's always a big party. I remember the DD25 being unveiled at my first ConExpo, which was the most recent one.
Yep.
For Volvo, you also unveiled the E320, or there was a massive electric excavator that also got revealed at ConExpo.
The EC230.
EC230. I flipped that two and the three there. But the future. And going forward, I'm curious what features or things do you have in the works that might be leveling up for, you know, for the compaction side of the industry?
From the compaction side, we'll continue to focus on productivity. and listening to what the customers and our dealers are telling us. We've got a few things that are in the works right now. I can't go too
far
into details on those.
Okay.
Plenty of things I can't go into detail on, but a few things that we are planning for ConExpo that really are direct responses to concerns that we've heard from customers. Things that they want to see, things that they're looking at specifically with our product or specifically with the industry that they believe are going to help them and they need to succeed and to be taking their business to the next step. So we've got a few of those ideas that we've been putting together, and we intend to have those on display at ConExpo.
Well, we're looking forward to that because, I mean, this is going to be the last World of Asphalt for 2 years. Mm-hmm. We won't be back in asphalt land. So that'll be the next time that a lot of these people are going to be seeing what's on display. So in anticipation of that, what are some features, built-in things that already are in place that maybe are not as well known? You know, smart compaction has become, people are pretty aware of that as a term, but is there anything that's built into your lineup that's like, you know, a lot of people may not be aware that our machines have these capabilities?
Yeah, I'd say one that's good to point out is our UltraPack technology on some of our large double drums, our DD128, for example. That's a technology we developed to really be low maintenance, very simple to operate, and provide versatility where you can run on thin lifts all the way up to thick lifts. So a machine like that DD128 UltraPack, you can run on, you know, 1 inch or thinner lifts all the way up to 4, 5, 6 inch lifts if you needed to. And that gives you one machine that you can have on one job site to run multiple levels of thickness.
What's the operational weight for that model?
That model, that's going to be a 12-ton machine.
Okay. So that's up there in the range of maybe like commercial breakdown rolling and, you know, working for guys who are maybe doing large parking lots or industrial parks. Those kinds of contracts would be what you would say maybe the primary type of contractor that would fit for?
For that one, you can do various types of roads or sizes of roads, highway work, freeway work.
Residential streets, for sure.
Could certainly do residential streets as well. Yep.
Awesome. We know that amplitude and frequency adjustments on the machine impact the final result. Do you have any tips to share that would help operators ensure that they're dialing in those settings correctly?
I'd say the biggest one is understanding what material you're running on.
What do you need?
How thick is your mat that you're laying for that particular pass?
What's the mix like? What's
the mix?
You know, the spec is important to how you dial that in.
Absolutely. Sometimes you have mixes that are more stiff. Sometimes you have ones that are more flexible. What temperature you're at? How long has it been since the paver's gone by and you're trying to roll over top of it? And just making sure that you're not overworking it. You're not fracturing the material. And then even a big one that we like to look at is impact spacing and making sure that you've dialed in the right frequency settings and you have the right speed so that you're not creating additional undulations in the mat once you roll past it.
Awesome. Well, Justin, I really appreciate you taking the time to sit down with me, Asphalt Contractor, and you know, share with us some of what Volvo's got going on in the compaction world.
Thank you. Good to be here. Thanks.